Pickaxe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.
Good evening, you're listening to One Life Left on Resonance 104.4 FM. We're a video game radio show. My name is Steve Curran.
Hello.
What's going on?
This is Sorry, the microphones are really weird. Should we swap back?
Yeah,
do you want to take them all down?
All right.
Take them all down. Leave yours up.
Okay, I've taken all of the mics down.
Hello, I'm Simon Byron.
And I'm Anne Scantlebury.
There you go. Very professional broadcasters.
Straight back into it, aren't we?
Exactly. I wasn't here last week. How did you get on?
It was good. Our guest was excellent.
Yeah?
It was really good. Dry January is over.
Right.
Very much over.
Now we've broken that seal.
Just in time for the last show of the run.
What?
Well, we're having a break, aren't we?
We're having a break. I was pretending I was surprised as the listeners may be.
Mm.
Why?
I don't think they can ever be surprised at us being unreliable
and
unpredictable.
Well, we are being neither of the two, are we? We are going to tell them we're definitely not here for the next 6 weeks.
Absolutely.
And we're giving them warning in advance.
You take a holiday too. You deserve it.
What else could they listen to for those 6 weeks?
Well, I would suggest listening to whatever is on Resonance FM, the greatest radio station in the world.
Very good.
And remember, you can support Resonance FM by donating at
resonancefm.com.
Yeah, good. You should do that.
Is that that? Yeah.
But you've been keeping well, have you?
No, do you know, last week I came in to do the show, which was a mistake.
Okay. It always is.
Because I got really ill afterwards.
Was something to do with the jest? The guest?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's all that time.
No.
All that time dry January, and then you go straight back into it.
They bring the germs in you. You haven't built up the immunity.
Yeah. Well, no such concerns this weekend. It's just back to the core of the core three.
Thank goodness. I am so immune to you now. This is going to be absolutely fine. How are you, Simon?
Very well, thank you. I was in Sweden last week.
Yeah. How is it?
It's good. I went to visit a game.
Can you talk about it?
I can talk about it, just not on air.
Can you tell us?
It's lovely though.
What colour is it?
It's Unreal Engine coloured.
Ooh.
How'd you like that for an answer?
Best colour.
That's good. I hope I'm not breaking any confidences when I say I went to a Microsoft event as well as this visit to the developer. Went to a Microsoft event over there. Used their facilities.
Mm-hmm.
They've got tablet holders on the side of the walls.
Oh,
if you're
really
going to use the facilities, that's a nice touch, isn't it?
It is.
Unfortunately,
although
I was doing a standing up facility, so I didn't have need for it. But
next time you receive an email from someone at Microsoft, and it says, sent from my Microsoft Surface.
Well, that's the thing. The tablet holders were not quite big enough, I didn't think, for a Microsoft Surface.
Yeah, I was going to say, what tablets are they using over there?
Well, not the small one. It's the Surface Minis.
And just so I'm clear, back of the store with the sit-down facilities.
Yep.
How far away is the door?
No, sorry, hanging on the wall.
Oh, next to you?
Just next to you.
So well, that's good, isn't it?
Where's the toilet roll?
On the right-hand side as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Above or below?
It's got to be below, hasn't it?
Slide to the side. Yeah, but I mean, it's not just... The wall is not tablet width.
Right, okay.
Because there's also a sink on that. Exactly. There's also a sink on that side of the wall as well. Yeah, but nice touch of thought.
Interesting.
Maybe this could become a regular feature where I visit the toilets of console manufacturers.
If you're a platform holder and you'd like Simon to visit your toilet, just let us know. Email
team@onelifeleft.com.
You ready for the news, Anne?
Okay. It's 7:06 on Monday the 18th of February. I'm Anne Scantlebury and this is the news. An ongoing lawsuit with Pokemon Go developer Niantic may see the company removing some gyms and Pokestops. The lawsuit was brought by a group of homeowners who have been affected by the placement of Pokestops and gyms, saying that the game has meant players have been trespassing on or near their properties. The ruling will be quite interesting because it'll say who is responsible for the trespassing, the people who do it or the company by means of encouraging players. It's not clear if one of the stipulations of the ruling will be that the game is renamed Pokemon Go, but not over there, or we'll get in trouble again.
Hey-o. How long has this been going for?
So I think a bit of a while.
A bit of a while, because there was definitely some chat about this when the game launched, wasn't there? People appearing in locations they should not be.
But I think the lawsuit itself has only been brought... I mean, considering when this was brought out, the lawsuit was brought out, I have a feeling, it was at some point last year.
Let's go with your feeling.
April?
We believe it was in April of last year.
Who determines the placement of the gyms?
Good question.
Thank you. So the reason I ask is that I was actually travelling with a Pokemon Go super nerd last week who just wouldn't stop playing it. And I said, well, did you used to play Ingress, Niantic's previous game? And he said, yes, because if you are like the champion in Ingress, you get perks in Pokemon Go.
What?
Exactly. And I believe that he said to me that one of those perks was being able to place your own gyms.
So that's what I was going to say. I seem to remember something about the data in Pokemon Go being derived from the locations that have been in Ingress or something, right. Places that people have created in Ingress or locations that are populated, heavily populated in Ingress. Because presumably they know from their experience in Ingress where people are likely to gather, which places are more, which places are accessible.
Well, I mean, couldn't you look at this the other way? Perhaps it could add value to your house if you don't have to move to get to a gym. I mean, I don't play Pokemon Go, so I don't know what I'm talking about. But.
So also recently they were taking suggestions of where you could place Pokestops and gyms and you could put it in your building, but presumably...
Well, and then sue them.
Yeah, brilliant. So presumably they would have to go through a lot of the rigmarole of making sure that people weren't trying to put them in bad places. So ahead of the hearing, Niantic have already put together a list of what they would do. And so it includes things like... if people complain, they've got to communicate a resolution within 15 days. Niantic would maintain a database of complaints to avoid poor placement. When Niantic system detects a raid of that 10 players or more are congregating at, a warning message will appear on their screens reminding them to be courteous and respectful of their surroundings. Niantic would also work with user reviewers and mapping services like Google Maps to mitigate any problems.
I mean, all of this seems sensible.
So one of them is so that park authorities can say, this is the park's opening hours. Mm-hmm. Don't be in here outside of these opening hours. And at the company's expense, Niantic would have an independent firm audit compliance with the obligations during a 3-year period.
So, sorry, is this what Niantic have suggested they will do?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to be enough?
I think, well, going through all of it, it sounds sensible and it feels as though... I don't really know what else you would want them...
Shut it down.
Alfonso Ribeiro, famous for playing Carlton in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, has had his request for the copyright of a dance move he performed in the show denied. The legal action was brought against Fortnite and Epic Games and 2K Games in the NBA 2K series after the dance was used in the games. The ruling stated, upon review of the material deposited for registration, we must refuse registration of the dance because the work submitted for registration is a simple dance routine, which sounds like a bit of a burn.
How's he reacted to this news?
It's unclear. I mean, I can't imagine he's super happy. He obviously thinks that this dance move mm-hmm. is his dance move. So it's him and so the law firm that is representing him also is representing a number of others. But it looks like if this hasn't been successful, the other claimants won't be successful either. One of my favourite things about this is that the US Copyright Office... defined the Carlton dance routine as containing 3 steps and they wrote out what the 3 steps are.
Oh.
So you can play along at home if you want to recreate this, because why wouldn't you? 1. The dancer sways their hips as they step from side to side while swinging their arms in an exaggerated manner. Get up, Simon.
I know this one. Dexter does it.
Yeah, yeah.
it's sort of like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is sort of like that.
Yeah.
2.
2.
The dancer takes 2 steps to each side while opening and closing their legs and their arms in unison.
Okay.
Okay.
Like that? Is it like that?
Yes.
And then 3. Get on for this one.
Okay.
The dancer's feet are still and they lower one hand from above their head to the middle of their chest while fluttering their fingers.
Okay.
It's a different dance I was thinking of.
Right. Okay.
I can do that.
You did very well.
Because it's simple.
So I see.
Yeah.
I see.
So that's what they were trying to say. It's very simple.
Is this... I can't find it. There's nothing on his Twitter about this. I'm checking Alfonso Ribeiro's Twitter. There is... is this the only Fortnite story you've got in the news? Because there's another Fortnite story
yeah,
today.
There, well, there was the thing
yes.
in Norwich.
Yes.
Yeah,
I didn't include that.
It's my favourite story, though.
So let's chat about it now.
Now?
Yeah.
Keep me guessing. Did you see this?
I did see it, yes.
Yeah. So one of my, Lisa, my partner's favourite types of news story is the Winter Blunderland.
Exactly.
Mm. Which, for people who aren't aware, is the story that comes up every year, which is a
disused car park
has been turned into a magical frozen themed wonderland usually there's a disgruntled mother who is the centerpiece of this with her 2 crying children who've been taken there and promised to see Elsa and
exactly.
What's the other one called?
Doris.
Olaf?
Elsa, Doris and Olaf. And actually it's a dog with some
antlers.
And some crazy foam sprayed everywhere. And a tent that smells a bit musty. And so Winter Blunderlands are out these days. The inn, Fortnite Blunderlands. So somewhere in Norwich has set up a Fortnite theme park.
Yeah.
Unofficial, 100% unofficial.
100%. And everyone knows those are the most exciting,
exactly. Yeah.
Risky.
Yeah.
Apparently it's like it was a car park with a couple of slides and
there was a cave tunnel. A lorry.
Yeah, which was a lorry.
They just had some tarpaulin over it.
Yeah.
That's your cave.
And it's such gentle schadenfreude to revel in, isn't it? The sort of low-key misery of some families have gone and...
I think they had on sale about 2,500 tickets.
12 quid a ticket.
Yeah.
20 quid if you wanted
unlimited.
A VIP unlimited crawl through this lorry.
Oh, wow.
Oh, dear.
But they only had like four of one activity that
no
you
one
go
in
on.
Cosplay, which people no. were expecting. None of that stuff. There was a climbing wall, but you could only have
two
kids. People, and apparently there were some dodgems, but again, only two people at once. So didn't go very well.
No, a little while ago we had another news story about it was like Fortnite Land, and they were using like a lot of Epic's artwork. On the website, and it looked as though they were probably going to be asked to take that
down.
Well,
this lot have taken down the Facebook page, and it must be either because, I mean, presumably, they were like, yeah, we'll refund anyone who asks, which is...
Well, you can't get in touch with us, you can't ask for a refund.
Yeah, secondly, and one assumes Epic are probably starting to get a bit interested now.
Well, because everybody is talking about it, like... the Fortnite Festival.
Yeah, Fortnite
Festival. It's... Not really.
Do you think we should run a festival?
Have you watched the Fire Festival documentary and you started getting ideas?
Exactly. I think we could do it exactly as well as that.
Activision Blizzard has confirmed that it will be letting go of 8% of its staff. That's around 700 jobs. In an earnings report, CEO Bobby Kotick explained that while the financial results of 2018 were the best in our history, we didn't realise our full potential. And so in order to accelerate the pace and quality of content for their communities and to support a number of new product initiatives, the company will be increasing the size of development teams on key franchises. These include Call of Duty, Candy Crush, Overwatch, Hearthstone, Diablo and Warcraft. He also said that cuts will be made by deprioritising initiatives that are not meeting expectations and reducing certain non-development and administrative related costs across the business.
So good luck to everyone affected by this, of course. This seems like a slight piece of repositioning from them in order to combat some internet fury, which was, oh, you're firing all these devs. Mm. And actually they're saying, well, actually, they're not actual developers. They're just people who work on, not development activities. And there's been a bit of a debate about this on the internet, hasn't there?
Oh, I haven't seen the debate because I haven't been on the internet very much.
Right.
But I wondered why you were so happy today.
I'm really glad, aren't I? But one thing that struck me with this was it takes... especially for these like massive games, it takes more than just developers to develop them. And everybody who's involved in video games is, you know, as long as they're, well, a lot of people are bringing value to the creation process, whether or not they are making the actual thing itself. So just because somebody is a administrative staff or support staff or whatever doesn't mean that their work doesn't have an impact on on the game and how the game is made.
That was what the debate was about. Friend of the show, Rami, came out and said, if you are anything to do with game development in any of these roles, you are a game developer. And some game developers said, well, hang on, words have meaning and these people have, you know, intrinsic value. Their value is hugely important. But by saying they are only worth something if we call them game developers, then you diminish the value of that role. And I think both of these sides are super interesting, and both, you know, have merit. I think you cannot build video games without these people playing the part. And I did find something in that statement. It felt like pointedly written to try and appeal to the people who are currently saying boycott, you know, Activision because they sack devs. You know, because even though they're making loads of money, they sack all these devs. So actually, they're not devs. I think that's, you know, it could be read as a kind of a cynical piece of repositioning. But, you know, it is true that by saying only devs have value, you stop looking at the actual meaning of what these employees did and how valuable research and marketing and all of those things is.
Fully agree, Steve.
Thanks for all your help on that, team.
Yeah. There's never going to be a good way to let go of that number of staff. It's never going to be a good way to let go of staff, regardless if you're doing it because the company needs to cut costs. There's never going to be a good way of doing that. So I think you sort of have to, if you're making that decision, you have to, as the CEO, front it up a little bit and not try and manipulate the story to make it seem like, no, we're putting more devs on your games. We're just getting rid of these people. Like, it's very sad, and maybe that's like the better way to think of it. It's, you know, it's not something that they want to do.
But do you think he was scared of the pitchforks on Twitter? Because I don't see how that would make any difference to what Activision does.
I mean, there was a petition to fire Bobby Kotick.
Right, okay. Did that work?
No. And, you know, it's such a rudimentary reading of the situation that, in a sense, he's a lightning rod for that.
Well, particularly when his salary is public, you know.
Right. But, if it wasn't him, it would be someone else and the same decisions would be being made. It's a product not of Activision as a company, but the whole ecosystem of, you know, driving, distilling more and more profit. And that is a bigger issue than we can solve on today's One Life Left.
We don't have a guest, Steve. PlayStation has a new boss, and it's former PlayStation Europe chief Jim Ryan. Ryan will be taking over the role from John Cadera, who took over from Andrew House. Cadera will be focusing on growing PlayStation Network and services. Ryan is heading into the role just ahead of a new generation of consoles, and consoles is due across the industry. He said it was a huge honour to be asked to take on the role of President and CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment.
Jim Ryan's quite an action hero name, isn't it?
Jim Ryan.
It's like Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
That's where I'm getting that from. I'm a simple man.
Jim Bergerac. That's the only first name. Yeah, I can't think of any others. No,
that's it.
There's a reference for your kids there.
What do we know about Jimmy?
So, Jim Ryan is from... Jim Ryan is, hang on, from what I read, he is from the UK. He's from up north.
Right, okay.
He's been with PlayStation for a bit.
Are you reading the Wikipedia section?
No, I can't even find him on here.
Get straight to the personal bit.
Just pick another.
Jim Ryan is a former player from Denver Broncos.
Ah,
interesting.
Okay.
He's born in 1957. Right, American football.
Okay. So how old does that make him?
Exactly as old as he feels. Do you guys know anything about Jim Ryan? He's
Nothing.
Been around for a while.
I've met Jim.
Have you?
I have met Jim, yeah.
Oh, it's for goodness sake!
Come on. What's more interesting, listening to you scrabble around than me saying I've met Jim? I haven't got any gossip on him. I've met him, though.
And?
Yeah, it seems like a decent guy. Hell of a football player.
Oh, no, don't put that up. Yeah, I've gone onto a different page. Hang on.
Did you trade business cards with him?
I don't think I did, Steve.
So we could have had his number. Could have WhatsApped him.
Good point. I will make it next time I see him. I will...
He'll have new cards without his number on.
Okay.
He'll be wise to this.
He wears glasses.
I don't think...
Can you describe him?
I've got Phil Spencer's card before. That doesn't have a number on it. Well, maybe some of them do. yeah,
Anne,
that's very wise.
Tell you what, imagine this is Anne Art, but reverse.
Okay.
Describe him and let's get one of our listeners to sketch Jim Ryan.
So he's a man.
Okay.
He wears a suit and he likes to put his hat, like, when he's on stage, he uses his hands. So he's got his hands forward like he's holding a baguette. Right?
Okay, good.
So he's got a dark-coloured suit jacket,
mm-hmm.
whatever that is, and a pinkish-coloured shirt.
Nice.
Top two buttons unbuttoned. Doesn't wear a tie. He's not wearing a tie. He's got a little lapel mic on, though.
Okay, can you see any hair?
He's to the side.
Okay.
So no.
Say that as if that's obvious. He hasn't got any side hair.
So he has... I mean, is it all right to say that he's got grey hair?
This is your role, Anne.
He's got light hair that could either be a fantastic blonde or a wonderful grey.
And just to add a bit of flavour to it, can you do an impersonation of him?
He's holding a baguette. Lunch. And finally, whatever happens, do not open any of your games ever. An unopened 34-year-old copy of Super Mario Bros. Has sold at auction for $100,000. That's the largest amount ever paid for a single video game. The copy is special because it was part of the earliest US batch of the game that was made when it was being tested in LA and New York before a wider release. The buyers were a group of three collectors who pooled their money. Unfortunately, your unplayed pile of digital games probably won't be worth anything to anyone in the future.
God, I do have loads of those.
Yeah. Because you should play those.
What are these three? How do they share it then? Having pulled their money?
I don't know. And like, what if one of them goes, go on, let's open it. Go on.
No one knows. All
right. Just slide that little...
Where's our MCV award?
Good question.
It's at my house.
Is it? Okay, right, there you go.
Do you want it?
Nope.
I'm going to have to move with it.
I've already got one, actually.
Oh, all you
right.
do.
Mine's going to expire, actually, by the time that we do our next show. I'm the current industry hero of the year.
Did you get that last year?
I did, yes. It was about to run out.
What? But why weren't we there?
Don't know.
Do we just not turn up?
I think it's for my day job, although One Life Left was mentioned in the speech.
in a good sense, despite...
People were just going, what's that?
So, do you want to know who the people were that bought it?
Yes.
Video game store owner Zach Geig, coin and video game collection enthusiast Rich Lecky, and Jim Halperin, who owns the Dallas-based Heritage Auctions, which is the company that was selling the game.
Hang on a minute.
Yeah, that one doesn't seem all right.
But so they had $33,000 each to spare.
Yep. What are you going to spend it on?
Well, not that.
No. It looks old.
It does look old, yeah. It looks yeah.
I wonder if it works.
Yeah.
You can't test it, can you?
Good scam.
Yeah.
Let's seal up anything and just say it's old.
So old scene.
Yeah. Good.
What else do they own?
Well, what would you own if you're a coin and video game collector? Well,
I wouldn't even own that because I don't have enough money for that. I don't have enough money for a third of that.
Video game store owner presumably owns loads of video
loads
games.
Loads of video games.
And a store.
Right.
So that's nice.
Yeah, but he isn't going to sell it. Imagine
if he puts that in. Jim Halperin Collection. James L. Halperin.
He's an author, isn't he?
James to his friends.
Is this who it is? James Halperin.
Yeah,
he authored a text on grading coins. How to grade U.S. This might be a different guy.
No, it sounds right though.
How to grade U.S. coins? Is this person?
If it's so, he runs a heritage auction site that would validate whether something is old or not.
There's James L. Halperin and there's Jim Halperin.
Ooh.
James L. Halperin's an author who wrote The Truth Machine.
Yeah, and First Immortal.
First Immortal, both very good books.
Okay. Truth Machine, currently under development as a motion... Should we just read Wikipedia for the rest of the... All right, is that it, Anne?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, thanks, Anne.
One Life Left Video Game News with Anne Scantleberry.
This is One Life Left and Resonance 104.4 FM. This is Frozen by amateur LSDJ. Often play his work on the show because he's brilliant, and this is from chipmusic.org. You can find this and many other bleepy blip blop chip tunes on there. Not all bleepy blip blop. Some of them are... Well, there's all kinds of different types of music. I don't know. It's music. Listen. We'll be right back. you're off for 6 weeks after this. What are you going to do on your winter holidays? Is that what this is? It's almost spring, isn't it? Spring holidays.
I've got to pack up.
Spring break.
Hey.
What are you going to do on spring break?
Well, I mean, knowing now that it is spring break, that might change
changes everything.
I'm going to pack up my flat and get out.
That's what you do every summer, isn't
it? Yeah, just move on.
Burn it to the ground. Yeah. No evidence left.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. What are you up to, Simon?
Well, I'm going on actual holiday next week, and I'll be away the week after, and I've got to work the following Monday. So it feels like already half of my holiday I was going to have to take off anyway. So it doesn't feel like I'm getting anything out of this.
Okay.
Plus also one of those is at GDC.
That's true.
So I've only got two actual Mondays off.
Yeah.
Make the most of them.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna pack up my flat.
Burn it down.
what are you going to do, Steve?
Yes,
I am going to get lots of sleep and rest and recharge my batteries.
Oh,
good.
Nice.
That sounds like exactly what you will do.
It's going to be good, but I've enjoyed today and I'm really looking forward to being back again. It's just we do have another 30 minutes to go.
We could just play a repeat.
All right, shall we do the letters section?
Yes.
All right, here is the letters jingle.
Email, messages and forward BCC.
One Life Letters. Chris Conroy writes, subject, The Other Magicians Podcast, Dear Team and SSG. Finally, and with no small amount of sadness, I listened to the last episode of Checkpoint this week, Declan Dineen's outstanding series of 128 shows where he talks to people in and around the gaming industry about the games that made them who they are. Although I'm really disappointed not to have any new ones to listen to, it does mean that I can go back to episode one, Leo Tan. Recently had a baby. Congratulations,
yeah,
Leo and
well
May.
Well done, Leo.
That was us interjecting into the letters, really, rather than Chris Conroy congratulating you, Leo. And start all over again. And if any listeners haven't done so, I highly recommend them doing the same. There were too many surprises and delights to list, but off the top of my head, individual interviews with unruly troop The Triforce, the legendary Violet Berlin, the unique Mel Croucher, console marketing luminary Jeff Glendenning, writers Parco, Gillo and Ello, pioneering podcaster Robert Ashley, and loads of more lovely people make this show so, so good. The only question I have off of the back of this letter, Vittorial, sorry, is that isn't it about time you had Declan on the show? You're advertising and amplifying correspondent Chris Conroy. Has Declan never been on the show?
I was about to ask you that.
He must have been on the show.
I don't think so.
What?
Yeah. Well, you book the guests.
I do sometimes.
How's that going?
Right. Declan, will you come on the show? You can be our first guest when we come back on April the 8th.
Huh. Auspicious show. April the 8th. It's not April Fool's Day.
No. It's the opposite.
April Smart's Day.
Interesting. Okay, good. That's sorted.
Yeah, and also, though, did you go on Declan's show?
Obviously not.
He didn't let you on. That's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. Maybe we could record a bonus episode while he's down here.
That's
on.
What we could do, actually, is get him down here under the ruse of being a guest, and then he has to talk to Anne for an hour about the games, what made you.
I don't think any games did make me.
No?
No.
Do you think you'd be who you are if it wasn't for video games?
No, it literally would. I would not. I wouldn't be. But I don't know if that's a good thing.
That's how I think we all feel. All right, we've got another letter, haven't we?
Yeah, shall I read it?
Yeah.
6 weeks? Has this been cleared with HR? And surely these shirkers should be disciplined, even demoted, though to what is hard to guess. Seriously, you guys are the best. Enjoy your break. Sounds like the judge let you off easy this time. FYI, been playing Deep Rock Galactic with my brother. It's a co-op mining game with dwarves. Good fun. Solid 7 out of 10. I keep thinking the devs kept thinking we should name this game Minecraft. Oh, no. Best from Gideon.
Thanks Gideon.
You're listening live. Or you've hacked into our emails.
Sometimes it's easy to forget that people listen live,
isn't it?
Sometimes it just feels like us in a room having jokes that only amuse ourselves, and here we are. Do you remember way back when we got that actual hate mail about the show, Fear Resonance? Remember? From that man who was in that band.
I had parked that somewhere. Private, Steve. I've completely forgotten about it, but you're right.
I only just remembered now.
Thank you, Steve.
What, like a like a written out one.
Yeah, there was a man who was in an
awful band,
a 90s electronic band, who used to stalk us around the internet a bit and be mean about us. Huh. Interesting, true. If that was you, write in.
Team at onelifeleft.com.
I think I found an email we didn't read last time from Chris Stewart. Stop me if this reminds you. Dear team...
Stop! I remember that bit.
Yeah, OLL and SSG.
Mm-hmm, sounds familiar.
A few weeks ago, I wrote in asking about card games I could play. I took some of Steve's suggestions for a spin, like Card City Nights 2, and had fun. But in the end, I got hooked on a game called Solitarica. It's a mixture of RPG and solitaire, and I've really played more of that between sleeps than anything else while I've been off work sick. It manages to balance difficulty against skill in a way I really enjoy, and I've had a lot more success playing with the harder difficulty decks and struggled with a lot of the supposedly easier options. Are there any games where you found harder mode easier than the easy mode? Love and kisses, Chris Stewart. That's a good question.
That's a very good question. I don't think I have an appropriate answer for it.
Me neither.
I'm actually waiting for Wargroove to introduce an easier mode where their current normal will become hard, which I'm moving away from that.
Current normal will become hard.
Yeah.
Does that mean that it gets easier?
It will do.
They are going to. They're going to build it because people have said it's too hard. Is that right?
Yeah, and they're going to put a portable checkpoint in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Thankfully.
Are we talking about that in the review section?
Can do. Yeah.
That game.
Can do.
I've been playing it too.
Okay. I've got loads to talk about in the
Me
review
too.
Section.
Me too. It's not a competition. Have you?
Or
got
is
lots?
It?
It is. Maybe it is. I can't think of any answers to that question. Maybe it's the only game, Chris. That might be
you
it.
Found it.
Well done. Is that what is it when you Google
Google Whack?
Yeah. Game Whack.
Well done.
Game Whack. Good work.
Thank you very much for your letters. Please do keep them coming during the 6-week break.
It's just nice to hear from you.
It is nice to hear from you. So please do email
team@onelifeleft.com.
I don't know how long you keep that going for.
There we go. Simon and I were just talking about the rise of the deck builder. I remember when we were the only people in the world into card games.
Yeah.
When Card Fighters Clash.
Yep. We started it.
We did start it. And then, you know, Hearthstone ran with it a bit for a while, made an industry out of it. I may be abbreviating this history a little bit, but it's, you know,
checking.
It's still there, isn't
who's
it?
Checking.
And now deck builders, I was explaining to listeners will already know because they listen to the show, I was explaining how I think I've just broken my addiction to Slay the Spire.
I'm looking forward to getting addicted to it.
I mean, it will be really good on Switch,
it's
I think.
Imminently. I thought it was going to pop out during the Nintendo Direct last week, but it did not.
Have you ever tried using Steam Direct, where you can play Steam games on your PC but using your phone?
Oh, I have not.
Is it called Steam Direct?
Steam Link.
Steam Link, sorry. I've got that working with...
With Slay the Spire.
With Slay the Spire, and it works absolutely perfectly. Yeah. It's not designed to work like that, but it works brilliantly.
Hacked it.
Yeah, and it made me really want to play the portable version, but I'm going to stay away.
it should be due out soon.
Mmm.
But yeah, it's a very popular genre, Steve. It is. The deck
right
building
now,
genre.
Yeah, I believe. Have you ever played a deck builder?
No. No.
Do you like cards?
I like getting birthday cards. I like credit cards.
Well, it's a lot like that. Do we have any other business? Anything that we need to chat about?
Yes, we had the first Marioki without you on Friday.
We did, didn't we? Or you did.
I did, yes.
So how did it go? Catch me up.
Well, it was hosted by me and Harji. Ed on decks.
Really?
Robert on sound.
Okay.
TBH. Dream team.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah. We got everyone chanting, "No more Steve." No, we didn't
did
do that at all.
Did
no,
you?
We didn't. That's next month.
I heard you were
month.
Burning effigies.
Yeah. Okay. Burning a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
No, we missed you a lot, but we got through it and
that
we had a great time. I think we have the best crowd that come to Marioki. And so
we had someone come all the way from New Zealand
for
us.
Yeah, there was. He was over from New Zealand. He sang twice. We had a new person who showed up first time there by themselves. Doesn't know Games Master. Sang a song that starts with a Games Master intro. Was born after Games Master came off of TV. So that was a fun time.
She enjoyed it anyway, didn't she?
She had a great time.
Apparently.
Yeah. So it was. It was brilliant, and I think we might have to admit that it's our audience that makes it so good, and not us!
But we have some Marioki news, don't we?
We do. Open on my laptop screen in front of me, and what I've been doing whilst the music has been going is we are going to be putting on sale tickets to Marioki at GDC 2019.
Come on, we're doing it again.
We are doing it. Again, against all the better judgment.
Anne was just running through the text me as we were listening to music. She said, "Is there anything funny we can put in there?" I just said, "No,
no, no,
there isn't."
But we don't need jokes. All the jokes are in the songs.
Exactly.
Let's keep it for the real content.
We're coming home on Thursday. Oh, with the Thursday of GDC.
Yeah.
Back at Encore Karaoke.
21st of March. You will be running so low of energy on that Thursday of GDC.
But we will restart it. Or you will. Tickets are limited, aren't they, this year? Very,
very limited.
So we sold out how big was the venue last year? 350, 400?
Easily.
500, 700, 1,000. It was everyone,
as I recall.
All of
we sold out last year at whatever number it was. This year we are... Tickets are... How many...
Putting on sale
90 tickets,
which will guarantee you admission. There'll be tickets on the door, and you'll need to keep following at Sing Marioki on the Twitter in order to get up to the minute.
We're gonna have to get the login for that.
Oh yeah, Steve. What's Steve? What's the login for the Sing Marioki?
I'll email the password to
you. Yeah, thank you. Good. That's what our listeners tell us to do.
So we'll put tickets on sale. Which day?
Well, I think we need to tell people that they're coming. So tell them tonight and put them on sale tomorrow night. No, put them on sale Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Right.
Wednesday.
Let's hype tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then sell them.
Once you've got the password for the
Twitter. Yeah, yeah. Hyping on Tuesday, selling on Wednesday.
Tuesday.
But we need to sell at a time that's appropriate for San Francisco.
Yep. 4 p.m. 5 p.m.? That's 9 p.m.
6 p.m.
9 a.m.
Yeah, is it 6 p.m.?
6 p.m. So anyone
but
that's...
Is that appropriate for
That's
for
10 a.m.
Because they're commuting. At that point,
it's appropriate for no one because they're all going into work and we're leaving work.
Yeah,
oh
five.
Goodness.
That means that no.
5 p.m.
Okay.
5 p.m.
Do you think 10?
That's when games typically release on Steam.
10.
But we aren't a game, are we?
People are used to going onto digital stores and buying things.
You think 6 p.m.?
6 p.m.
6 p.m. on Wednesday.
Let's do it.
Oh, I thought you said 10 p.m.
No, 10 a.m. 10 a.m.
Okay,
San Francisco time.
I was going to say, 6
p.m.
You're crazy.
1 p.m. New York time.
I know. And then some other time. Some other times elsewhere.
Where is it in New Zealand?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, sometime we will put it on our Twitter in various time zones. We will. Well, you will once you've got the password.
Just need the password.
Or if you want the password, just go into Anne's email.
Yeah, which...
What's the password to your email?
Oh, goodness, I don't remember anymore.
Should we get on with this? We've got to do the review section.
Yeah.
Anne.
Right, okay.
That was the easiest that's been for months.
Yeah, well, let's just get it over with. You guys have got loads to talk about and I have less.
We do.
Fewer. I continue playing Bacon. Great. Can't get it on the Umbrella, though.
Really, I've done them all.
Have you? How many are there?
It's about probably about 150 now. And then it goes into speech bubbles at the end, spoilers. There's loads, and they're all brilliant. It's a great game, 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10 also from me. Umbrella is stumping me, though. I continued playing Alpha Omega. I got onto level 63, water, and got very stuck. But I was really brilliant at thinking up what all of the words were, because I was off work a couple of days last week, and I played a lot of that just whilst I was on the sofa putting together all those words. Very clever, 7 out of 10. And then the new thing that I have been playing is Bridge Constructor Portal.
Ooh.
Which is a bridge constructor that is set in the Portal universe.
I've seen that on Switch.
It's
I think,
on Switch, yeah.
Discounted sometimes.
Yeah, exactly, because it's not as good as when ski lifts go wrong. The other puzzle construction game that's available on the Switch.
Oh, man. So I haven't played loads of it yet, but I really, really love Portal. And this isn't that game, but it is a game that you build bridges in and use portals. And so that's quite fun. It's just quite a nice, easy setup. Building bridges is always fun because if you're successful, you know very quickly that you're successful. And having like the little portals in there is also good. And I quite like the setup of it. Like, it's fun. It has the very similar tone to Portal. Like, the setup of it is you're going, and your avatar is like a little 2D, like, person. And yeah, you go into an interview and it's very funny, and it's very, very quick. And just get into it and you're just building bridges. Fun time, 7 out of 10. I will continue because it was more expensive than I usually like to pay for things on my phone. Done. Simon.
One of the games I've been playing this week is Unruly Heroes on the Nintendo Switch. It was one of the surprise launches during the Nintendo Indie Highlights.
Mm.
I don't think it's the entire team, but some of the developers behind Rayman Origins, and similar to that game, it's a beautiful looking side-scrolling platformer. You play 4 characters you can swap between at any time. Each of them's got slightly different traits and skills. It's not too taxing. Mixing up puzzle, combat, and exploration. Getting from A to B is pretty straightforward, but it's got lots of sort of secret routes and bits you can do to collect more unlockables. Not too taxing. Very, very pleasant game to play. You looks lovely running and handheld. 7 out of 10.
Is it better or worse than Grease?
They're very, very different games, aren't they? I think
side-scrolling beautiful platformer.
Yeah, this is more action orientated, really.
Okay.
And so it's going to keep me entertained for a little longer, I believe. 7 right. out of 10.
Okay, solid. I played a weird game called I've just lost the name of it. I think it's called Space Hole.
Okay.
I think it's called Space Hole 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to download weird things that I find in the indie section of Steam that don't seem to have very, very many reviews, and this was one of the ones that I found. It's a very, very weird, abstract, I guess you would call it a puzzle game, where sometimes the puzzle is working out what you've got to do. It's painted in a kind of Jeff Minter-esque, lucid neon dream aesthetic, but definitely less bitmappy than him, more polygons with glowing surfaces. In some parts of the game, you're a space shuttle flying through a tiny space shuttle flying through a polygonal universe, and suddenly portaling into other things. In other parts of the game, you are a marble, like in a kind of Marble Madness, rolling around a again, abstract neon scape trying to get to the exit. And some of that is puzzling. Oh, this time you've got a power-up that makes you grow. This time you've got a power-up that turns you into a cube. How do you get through that? It is cheap and it is broken, but it follows this kind of, like, video game punk rock aesthetic that I'm quite into, which is it's scrappy and it's done and it's, sorry, it's scrappy and it's not done. It's not, it doesn't feel finished in a way that people are taught to make video games. But it feels like it's got an edge, and it kind of does have new ideas, sort of, or are they old ideas just coloured in a very bright strobe aesthetic? I don't know. I've really enjoyed it, and it's cheap, and it's a 7 out of 10.
I've been playing, and I'm surprised by this. I am playing nothing but New Star Soccer Manager.
Really?
I know.
Really?
I know.
Okay.
I've got a bit of a checkered history with New Star Soccer. Mm. I've got some personal issues mm-hmm. that I needed to overcome. But I met some guys who were working on the Switch version at Pocket Gamer Connect, and they said, oh, yeah, we'll release that couple of weeks. I used to love the original mobile game.
Well, we
game
all did,
before
didn't
it
we?
Got ruined.
He was on the show.
Yeah. I said, is this any good? He said, yeah. He said, what we've done is we've, so it's free on mobile. But on Switch, it's £15.
Wow.
I know. Imagine paying £15 for something.
For a video game.
They've rebalanced the economy. So I've not played the mobile version. I did hear that it was not done in the best way in terms of encouraging you to spend actual money on it. So at least you know with this going eyes open, it's a one-off payment. It's very good.
Is it?
It really I think this demonstrates that I'm growing up and becoming open-minded, etc., because I was determined not to like it, and I really was, and here I am on international radio
the longest running
how,
radio show in the world
telling everybody how good it is. So similar to New Star Soccer, you control a team, although this is expanded in almost every way, so you've got much more to do off the pitch as well as the on pitch stuff. But yeah, it's the idea about assembling a group of players and taking them through the various leagues, etc. all totally unofficial, so it's made up teams, made up names, abbreviated leagues. But yeah, just can't stop playing. It's got a card system, which I can imagine if you were paying for the energy or the skills would become really frustrating. But this way, down, actually, it's got you need to carefully balance the needs of your players with the stadium and the staff. I'm 36 games into a season, so each of the matches when you play them are they have the sort of Football Manager style highlight text commentary, and then now and again you'll take direct control of your players. Easier to do off the ball runs, passing, etc. It's just something really, really nice about it. I'm worried because I got a copy of Rico to play today that's coming out next month. And really, James Park was in my office on Friday, showed me. It looked brilliant. So I went, when can I play the Switch version? He emailed me today going, Switch version's live, or the store page is live, which means that you can, those that have advanced codes can download it. I really want to play it, but I'm just going to be playing New Star Soccer. I will play Rico because I'm really excited by it. But no, it's brilliant. It's really, really, yeah. It evokes memories of the time when New Star Soccer was good.
Is Jay Parks coming on the show to talk about Rico when it launches?
It's out in between. It's out during our break, sadly. So he'll be back on afterwards.
Right.
Before I played of Rico, it looked phenomenal. It looked like everything I was hoping it was going to be.
Oh, I want that.
Also 7 out of 10.
Fantastic. I've been playing Moonlighter.
Okay.
Because everything I heard about Moonlighter... at the time it came out, made me think, I want to play that, and I feel like I might fall for it too deeply. I then decided I needed to get out of Slay the Spire by playing something else, so I downloaded Moonlighter. And I fell for it.
Did you?
A little bit. At the start, so Moonlighter is a game where you run an RPG shop and you also go through the dungeons. So you're collecting items to sell in your shop, and also collecting items to craft things for you to build better weapons. And that's sort of where I fell out of love with it, the crafting.
Right.
I guess I was into crafting when Minecraft came out, and I was like, oh, this is a cool new thing, but I fell out of it quite fast. And I think all of the games that the kids love, Don't Starve, etc., which are heavy on crafting, I've never really got. It's too much mundane micromanaging, and none of the beauty of, I miss the thing in Diablo where you open a chest and something is kind of like, oh, it's a blue, you know, blue sword.
Got the blue one.
Yeah, oh, that's really, really exciting. And it's got slightly different stats, and the odds of you getting that is really, really exciting. Oh, God, it was, you know, back when loot chests were not paid for. That was really, really exciting. These days, the way it works is you open a chest and it's like, oh, you've got 12 pieces of wood and 3 pieces of iron and this nice gem, and now you can take it to the guy in town who makes swords. Oh no, you've actually mixed one of these, so you've got to go back into the dungeon and get another piece of textiles. And before I realised it was that heavily based on that, I was super into it. I like the idea of going into a shop and going, going into your shop and going, oh, I'll try and sell this. And people go into the shop and go, oh, that's too much. And you put the price up or down or whatever. And that was cool. But yeah, I think it was the perfect game to fall in love with, to break my addiction to Slay the Spire. And I think I'm out 2 hours in. I think, wow, I'm out of that already, 7 out of 10.
Could you talk about Wargroove?
We should talk about it.
Did
together.
You talk about it last time?
No, because I was too busy talking about Slay the Spire.
Okay. It's hard, isn't it, Wargroove?
It is. Well, a few things struck me. One, it's really beautifully made.
Really, really like it. The music. I mean, I'd forgotten, you know, all that talk about Tiny Metal, etc. You know, all these things wanting to scratch that Advance Wars itch. Yeah. You know, you don't need any of the snazzy visuals or anything like that. What you need is Advance Wars.
And it is exactly that. Yeah. That's one of the other things that struck me. Like, if Advance Wars was out, as in an ongoing an ongoing series that they released versions of, yeah, then, you know, I would find this a little ethically dubious, yeah, I think, because it is so close.
But I met with Damon Baker before the Switch came out, and I said, oh, that, because it was in like one of the first Switch Nintendo Directs. I was like, that's a bit Advance Wars. I'm surprised you guys are doing this. And he said, the thing is, we're not doing it, so why not support those that are? And I thought that was a really refreshing attitude.
I agree. And it is such a beautiful version of it. I mean, it seems to be. I've not played Advance Wars for years, but as far as my head goes, it's basically a unit for unit copy.
Exactly, everything but name, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have some of, you know, they have these special moves they do, but even those I think were in some Advance Wars. It's very hard. I'm finding it quite challenging, and missions take a long time. Like, I basically do one and then quit out because I'm like, I'm done with it.
Well, I've stopped playing now because I've got to Act 3, Mission 3. It's taken me 45 minutes to fail, and I've done that 4 times.
Yeah.
So I said to them, I'm stopping playing this until you sort your checkpoint out. They responded by saying, we're going to sort a checkpoint
good
out.
Good, they listen. But it's charming, you know, it's really nicely scripted. It's really lovely, you know, beautifully finished.
The music's good as well, isn't it? That battle, the main battle theme.
Yeah.
I sort of miss when you're playing a different commander.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. So I'm really enjoying playing it in bits and pieces at the moment, in between my other crushes on other games. And I'm glad they've brought it back because I've missed Advance Wars. Fire Emblem's coming though, isn't it?
Did see that, yeah.
So I don't like Fire Emblem.
No.
As much as Advance Wars. But I am quite excited about it.
There was lots in that Nintendo
There were. Direct. Are we done with reviews? 7 out of 10 for Wargroove. Yeah. You playing Tetris?
Yeah, isn't it? What a brilliant idea.
I haven't played it because I'm too worried it will make me cross.
Well, that's the thing. Because it's also quick and chaotic, it's impossible, I think, well, for me, I've never been particularly good at Tetris, to get angry. Because, A, you don't know who you're getting angry at. You can't see early on, you can't see who's harming you, etc., etc. It doesn't hold your hand in the slightest. There's apparently an awful lot more to come. The data miners have been saying there are these different modes, etc., etc. What a way to refresh a classic game like that. So clever.
And it's free.
And free.
Sort of.
If we pay for it. Yeah, which we do.
Which we do. I imagine one day I will fall for it because I fancy myself at Tetris.
Right, get in
like
there.
I'm a bit good at it, but I think it'll probably teach me quite fast.
You've got 6 weeks.
Really? What happens then?
We come back. We talk about how many times you've won.
Yeah, that. Okay, shall we? I don't want to. Good, that's it.
Woohoo!
So you've been vocal during that.
Yeah,
just,
I was
just doing some admin.
Doing some admin, putting the
very
stuff on
important.
Sale.
Good. All right. Well, 6 weeks then. I mean, you know, let us know if anything happens during those 6 weeks, Steve, won't you?
I'll update you if anything of note occurs. I hope you'll do the same.
I think I'm clear in that regard. Anne?
I'm burning down my flat.
Yeah, but it's been a good show today. A good one for Resonance to repeat five times.
Exactly.
While we're away. Yeah. And then we will be back. In the meantime, please do stay in touch with us. Please do write. Let us know what you're up to. Donate to Resonance. Because it is a genuinely important radio station. We're very, very lucky to have it.
Although we will come back with our official fundraising event.
Talking about that today as well. But until then, we'll see you soon.
Goodbye.